listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it, I'm RJ live, coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. We've got an action-packed hour for you this Monday. I've never seen anything like it. Literally, there was a betting situation this weekend. I've never seen anything like it, and it involved the Oscars. We'll talk about that. The Lakers, MVP odds, Duke, the AP poll, some ups and downs there. And as always, the picks and information you need to watch TV as an intelligent sports better tonight, joined in studio, pros who know, Steve Fezzik, Brad Powers, sports bettors listen for the money, sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you, but you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here on a Monday, RJ, here at Fox Sports Radio. And here on Straight Out of Vegas, we're going to start in the NBA, where the season so far has seen a lot of amazing performances. We've talked about Russell Westbrook and his triple doubles. We've talked about James Harden and his 30-plus point scoring performances. And James Harden looked like a lock as the MVP of the season, but we have seen a development in the odds. So, RJ, what is Vegas' takeaway?
So he says, lock. Think about this, Jonas. Typical tout, you know, guy on talk radio touting. Oh, I'm Jonas. I got a lock. Ah.
It's a Knox lock, by the way. That's what we call it.
Gambling. Who's anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
There are no locks. But what we know is when betting is about sentiment, what sentiment, how people feel. Think how different the following two bets are. The Patriots are playing in the Super Bowl against some opponent. Who cares? It's the Pats right now. All right, Patriots are playing in the Super Bowl versus who's going to win the MVP of the Super Bowl. Seems pretty similar. Same game. If the Patriots play really well, a Pat probably wins MVP. A lot of similarities. But the differences are bigger and they're underappreciated. Fez, what game are you? Give me a quick tease ahead. Which is the biggest opinion you've got before the end of the hour? Don't give me the opinion. Which game does it cover?
I don't have one, actually.
So you have no picks coming up on the D block?
I have no picks.
Then why are you here?
I put in a request to have the day off, but you...
You wanted
down.
Another day off?
I wanted the four-day weekend, and you shot it down.
Wow. Well, how's this? I'm going to turn Fez's mic off for how long do you think, Brad? 3 minutes?
Yeah, at least.
He says at least. Try to talk, Fez.
Hello?
See, it's irrelevant. Oh, you've been neutered. Okay. Now, Brad, who are you bad
at? Kansas.
There's a game that involves Kansas.
Yep.
Now, what are you doing when you try to figure out who you're going to pick in that game? Like, use just handicapper's words.
Yeah, motivation, who's more motivated team, the situational spot.
So the details that you just gave me are about the ultimate goal of predicting the final score.
Yes.
Okay. If you bet the MVP odds, let's bring it back to the NBA, what's your goal?
Ooh, I'm betting more of a storyline, and I think you used the right word, sentiment.
It's what people think.
Yes.
And we all know, if it's Fez, do you have any quick thoughts?
Yeah, but my mic is muted.
No one, you see, can't even hear him.
Hello?
It's like his whole existence. across the country. He's like, where's Fez? Is Fez there? And then you hear this faint voice. You've got another 60 seconds. All right. It's sentiment. And what do we know about sentiment? People are capricious. People ebb and they flow. And let's be candid. We can sit here all haughty if it's the case, because we all know people who have some psychological imperfections. You know, it might be slight where you could say, wow, that's a good guy, but when things fall short, he gets mad. He might throw a chair. You know, look at Bobby Knight. You know, I'm not trying to even say Bobby Knight, but a person like Bobby Knight. Did Bobby Knight have psychological issues? I don't know. But if someone told me there was some diagnosis, some pro psychiatrist that had treated him for a year and then said, okay, Bobby, because he wants everyone to understand some of his limitations, again, hypothetically, in this case, he wants me to share this diagnosis, and it's this. Would anyone be crazy shocked?
No.
And we could probably all name, the funny thing is Fez's mic is off and he's just shaking his head. He's still trying to participate, but he can't. You know, I'm going to put it back on Fez. Say hello to the nation.
It's good to be back.
Now, that was funny. Yeah. I'll give him credit. There's a lot of that out there. Go to any mall, go to any grocery, go to any place where there's stress. At a gas station, oh, you took my spot. In a casino, that's my machine. Or at a blackjack table. You've probably seen some crazy stuff at a blackjack table when someone came in and started playing, playing bad, let's say, and they were taking tens away and all that. You've probably seen some people get really mad.
Oh, they scream at me when I stand on a 15 against a 10 when the count's sky high, and they're like, that guy has no idea what he's doing. He caused us all to lose.
We're counting cards.
But emotionally, these people aren't being reasonable and saying, Mr. So-and-so with the toupee, why would you take a 10 in that spot? Can you explain it to me and help me assuage my anger? Is that how they react?
No, they just get angry at me. In fact, sometimes I'm just filling out parlay cards on the slot machine next to the sports book, and people will walk up and say, are you playing that machine? It's a whole bank. They're identical, but they need me out of their machine.
You know, we could do a whole show on how Fezzik's little gripes about the casino culture. But the conclusion of that show and this is people are human. And humans are emotional and they're imperfect. And I would make the case that the ebb and flow of a typical handicap, who is going to win game XYZ, is something, there's a tight window of what perception is. That opening line, we don't love lines makers, but that opening line is usually within a couple of points of the closing line.
Yep.
So a couple of guys in Subarus and big pot bellies, they don't shave every day, the three odds makers at, I wasn't explaining the wise guy round table, Jones, but the three odds makers at some sports book that aren't making all that much money, they come up with that line first, and the whole world gets to critique it. And at the end, Fez, let's use the NFL as an example. Wild guess. What percentage of NFL games end within or close, so that means the line at kickoff, are within 2 points of the open? Not totals, just the sides.
95%.
So 19 out of 20 times, they're within 2 points. Not much swing of sentiment. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. Now, let's talk about the sentiment associated with things like votes, MVPs. Because really, I used the word sentiment a second ago, but it's really not sentiment, is it? I guess it's how you feel about the teams or the likelihood they're going to win. But that's a tight window. Have you ever seen like a true professional on Monday of the football week go, oh my gosh, I know Team A is going to win. It's the surest thing I felt in a year. And then 4 days later, you know something? I'm sure Team B's going to win. I mean, those guys wouldn't last a couple weeks, right? You don't see that. It's a tight window of sentiment. It usually goes from, I'm not going to bet this game, to, I'm going to make a small bet on it. It's that range. Now, not much has happened in the last month or so that you would say, boy, that James Harden's a lot better than I thought, or he's a lot worse. But the sentiment's changed.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Stat mining fatigue is the term that I would put on it. At first, we were all super excited. James Harden, 30 points a game. This is amazing. And then after we started watching him and he keeps shooting so much and the like, by January 24th, he peaked in terms of public sentiment. He was a 5-1 favorite. You had to risk $500, RJ, to win 100 on Harden to win the MVP, and then the stock started to crash.
So think about that. So minus 500. There's never been a title team. I'm just going back through my mind. Entering any playoffs that I can think of, so NHL playoffs, baseball playoffs, you've got a narrow group of teams. Have you ever seen a minus 500 favorite entering a playoff in a major sport?
University of Connecticut women's basketball. That's the only one.
That was a good pull.
That was.
All we got to do is turn that mic off now and again.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's going to be like, I'm here kind of to deliver. I should probably deliver. Kudos, Fez. Steve Fezzik. All right. In the major sports, though.
Never.
No gender bias. Okay. So you're saying Harden was a bigger favorite. What was the exact date?
January 24th.
Not that long ago. To win the MVP than any team has ever been in the modern era to win a title entering their playoffs.
Correct.
All right. And let's call 1980 the modern era. And now what's Harden's odds?
Now he's a 2-1 underdog. So think about this.
All right, go ahead.
So before, on January 24th, you had to risk 500. If you risk 500, you get 100 back. If you risk that same 500 now, you get 1,000 back, 10 times more money.
You know what's amazing? I would have said it exactly the same way. Fez is having a heck of a first segment. And he was suspended for 3 minutes of it. $500 risked a couple weeks ago. I call it a month almost. All right. 500. How much then? You would win 100. Now you'd win 1,000. So the payoff on Harden has gone 10x.
Even though his performance has been somewhat comparable.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Fez. This shows you guys, in the NBA playoffs, you're picking about an objective factor. Your assessment of it is subjective, but you're picking, predicting, handicapping an objective result. Here, you're predicting sentiment. And what we know for sure is humans have their ups and downs a lot more than objective facts do. So what's the takeaway lesson? Simple. If you're betting something that involves sentiment, look to bet the swings, because sentiment rarely is as good as it is, as its best, meaning that the reality, usually sentiment is above even the best a team is when they're playing well, and below when they're not playing well, or if it's a player or whatever we're talking about. Oh, by the way, who's favorite now?
Giannis, the Greek freak, is favorite. He's minus 250, so you have to risk $250 to win 100 on Giannis.
Now, this is a weird question. What has Giannis done? We just said Harden's pretty much playing the same. What has Giannis done differently in the last month?
He had a really good All-Star game. His team lost.
Whoa. You're saying the losing player in an All-Star game is why he is now the favorite to win the MVP of the entire league?
And Milwaukee is more likely to get the number one seed in the East since they just beat Boston.
You know what? So that one, but this was the case 3 days ago. It wasn't that different, was it?
Yeah, they got a 2-game lead now.
So really,
and they had a 1-game
really
lead.
What you're saying is you have no idea.
It's all about Harden.
But you just said Harden really hasn't changed his quality of play all that much.
It's all the perception of what Harden's doing.
The fact that Fezzik's trying to answer questions that don't have good answers is the point. There are no good answers. If you feel like you've got a good feel for the ebbs and flows of sentiment in people, the betting you should be looking at is the voting, because oftentimes there's no rhyme or reason. Harden was a big favorite to win the MVP a month ago. Now he's an underdog. No rhyme or reason to it. When we come back, let's talk some Lakers. You could say rhyme or reason's a question there. And also, I'm going to focus on that. I want to really deep dive because I think it's about the team, the Lakers. But I also think it's about LeBron. Is what's happening now, do we look back retrospectively and reevaluate some prior questionable LeBron situations?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will take a deep dive look into one of the strange situations and scenarios in the NBA.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you right now on the Vegas Strip. 58 degrees, and the neon is pumping.
RJ, the LA Lakers started off the post All-Star break with a big win over the Houston Rockets last Thursday night. Lakerland was ecstatic. They were pumped up. LeBron was activated. And then over the weekend, they went to New Orleans and they lost to the Pelicans without Anthony Davis. Now there's some concern as the Lakers tip off at 8 Eastern time at Memphis later on tonight. Where does Vegas stand on the current situation of the Lakers?
Boy, this just fits right in, because in the first segment, what did we talk about? If you're voting, which is kind of funny to say, if you're betting on the vote of the MVP, you better take the human condition into consideration. What do we know about the human condition? Highs and lows, ebbs and flows. When it comes to handicapping an individual game, nothing really happens between that game, the beginning of your handicap, and the game itself, because you're handicapping the next game a vast majority of the time. Fez, real quick, the time maybe this isn't the case is the Super Bowl, whereas there's only four potential matchups when you get to the championship round, AFC-NFC, and you'll see those projected lines. So in a way, you're handicapping a week ahead, and the swings you tend to see in those lines are bigger than usual swings because recency bias. You see something in that championship game, it's like, oh my God, Carolina, you're not going to stop Cam. He's finally coming in his own. Right? And you'll see those swings, where you won't see those type of swings when there's a game announced or the line is out, and then there's time between then and the game. But in between, there's no other game. So there's not new information to cloud bettors' thinking. Would you agree with all that?
Agree strongly, and certainly a very big recency bias, especially the bigger the game, the more people that are watching it, overreaction.
And in football, usually Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football gets overreacted to, where the Lakers get a ton of attention. LeBron, ton of attention. We've seen an ebb and flow when it comes to the Lakers' playoff odds. And that's the question now. There's not a lot of debate. Is LeBron and the Lakers going to win the title? The question is, are they going to make the playoffs? Fez, it's laid out from the All-Star break till now. There's been two Laker games, right?
Just two.
But boy, oh boy, have there been swings.
Yeah, so going into the break, the Lakers were a small underdog to make the playoffs. The no was minus 140, RJ.
All right, so if you said no, they're not going to make it, you got to lay a little bit extra. If you said yes, you're getting some plus money. Kind of like when I bet you guys, I usually find a way to get plus money.
The big wins, yes.
So the RJ position, in this case, getting the plus money was yes, the Lakers would. The favorite was no. And this is entering the All-Star break.
Correct. So the Lakers, with the help of Scott Foster, I would argue, beat the Houston Rockets. And all of a sudden, oh, Lakers looked good. They impressed. The Lakers became a favorite to make the playoffs. They were minus 130, small favorite to make the playoffs based on one game.
All right, so you're very good at this. I mean, if it was a normal person, I'd break out the adding machine. But you don't need this. In general, broadly, at the original number we were talking about, when they were the Lakers were a underdog to make the playoffs, a favorite not to, what was the percentage on the Lakers when it was like -140, you know, vigorous percentage?
Yeah, so the Lakers were like 44% to make the playoffs.
Okay, so let's think of it like that. Before the or during the All-Star break, 44% chance the Lakers make the playoffs. Now, the second number was after the one big win. What was the chance of the Lakers making the playoffs then?
55%.
Think about that. There's 82 games in a season. The regular season. One win or loss, one binary, A or B, heads or tails, takes you from 44% chance to make the playoffs to 55 for the Lakers? Does that make any analytical, logical sense?
No, but it was public sentiment that
No. We know it's public sentiment. I just want to objectively, if you want to hear what Fezzik was going to say, just get our podcast, because we spent 10 minutes talking about it in the first block. If you missed it, just search for RJ Bell on your favorite podcast player, Straight Out of Vegas. All right, so we can say that time, Fez. But there is no objective mathematical reason.
No.
How much do you think the change should have been? If it was 44% over the All-Star break, Lakers to make the playoffs, and then the Lakers pull that upset, in the Fezzik world, what would you say the odds go to?
Maybe make them 51%.
So really? You think that big of a jump?
Yes.
I wasn't thinking that.
Why? Is it just one win, or is it the symbolism of, oh, look, they can beat anyone when they're together?
And they were an underdog against a perceived top five NBA team.
Which is what I just said exactly.
Yes.
So, okay. I still think that's a lot, don't you, Brad?
Yeah, I was thinking closer to 3%.
Yeah, meaning going from like 44 to 47.
Yes.
All right. So even if you take the super optimistic, other psychological element, and it's not just the public thinking, oh, they can beat the Rockets, so who maybe they can beat almost anyone. Maybe the young players are thinking that. Maybe Fez is giving them some credit. But boy, what a swing. Now, the season didn't end there. There was another game. So now the second of 82 since the All-Star break. What happened, and then what happened to the odds?
They got blown out in New Orleans as a 7-point favorite. The Lakers lost by 13, and the Lakers became a monster underdog to make the playoffs. The no on the Lakers is now minus 250. Take back.
Whoa.
Yes, plus 200. Talk about an adjustment. So
a percentage chance
went down from 55% to 30%.
Okay, guys. Now just think about this for a minute. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. And it also brings up a point we won't belabor because it's an advanced point, and this is what the podcasts are for. But I went to finance school, went to Ohio State, and I graduated in 1992. And probably the founding tenet, the founding principle of finance at the time was efficient market theory. It's a fancy phrase. All it means is whatever is known is built into the price. So if a housing market is efficient, the housing market is going to know, oh, this house had termites a few years ago, and they changed some of the wood, but they might not have gotten all of it. So though the comp on this house might be $300K, it should really be $270. The market knows the information, and it properly prices the information. Our goal in sports betting, if you're a bettor, you can't believe in the efficient market theory. Because let's think of it like a coin. If a true coin, a perfect coin, was 50-50 heads or tails, and Fez and I started betting, and Fez had two white wines, which is usually, that's your wild night, right?
That's my limit.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. I was there once when he had two white wines. It was about, like, high school girls when he was 14. Like, you know, they were young, 14, too. It was about some trip he took to Cancun, and there was a silk shirt that he was wearing, and he was telling us about his nipples. I mean, you think I'm kidding. Just say true or false about what I'm saying.
True.
I mean, imagine that, all right? So imagine somehow Fezzik is on three white wines. And I say, Fez, let's make a bet. I've got this true perfect coin, and every time you win, I'll give you $1. And every time I win, you give me $1 and a penny. What would happen if we flipped the coins long enough?
You would eventually win.
I wouldn't eventually win. I would eventually own everything you own. Right?
Penny at a time.
Penny at a time.
I am Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
That would now be my drop. RJ would have the Fezzik yacht. RJ would have the Fezzik mansion. Why? Because literally that penny difference on a 50-50 proposition. So if we felt like the sports betting market was efficient, how in the heck can you ever lay 110? Which is what you got to do, right? Bet 11 to win 10 in the NFL. Fezzik wouldn't be here. He'd be hanging out at 7-Eleven, working at 7-Eleven. Oh, you'd be back as an insurance man. Oh, my God, how boring. That's what would happen. We don't believe the markets are fully efficient. Now, here's the irony. The more money the bookies will let you bet on any given event, the more efficient that event likely is. So, Fez, let's use an extreme case on the efficient side, NFL sides. Most efficient?
Yes.
All right. You walk in, even if you're Steve Fezzik, known man in town, and you came up to the window, a book that loves big action, says, I want to bet an NFL side. How much can I bet?
20,000.
Oh, Cantor used to take 100 from, they had posted at 100.
They did, but the times they are changing, RJ.
Listen, they're taking $1 million bets in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
So what are you talking about?
I tell you, sides 10.
Boy, he's just saying, well, it's Fezzik.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So let's say there was a normal guy that walked in that they weren't scared of, some guy in the pit. So they know the guy. He plays craps all the time. He owns 7-Elevens in Jersey. How much do they let him bet on an NFL side?
100,000, no problem.
Not even a blank.
Not even a blank.
If that same guy wanted to bet, let's just say a college basketball total. This isn't some obscure sport. A college basketball total, how much?
2,000 after they made 3 or 4 phone calls to confirm that's okay.
So what does it tell you? That they believe the NFL sides, the bookies do, are super efficient, and they believe college totals are not. So to quote Warren Buffett, when they're scared, when the bookies are scared, you should be greedy. And when and when the bookies aren't scared, you should be scared. And that's why if you're not a huge bettor, betting some of these sports with lower limits, I mean, Fez, let's use the WNBA, for example. If a guy was 75th percentile smart, if he went to a state college and had a 3.1 GPA, not a brilliant guy, but not a dumb guy, but he knows sports. If he committed himself to the WNBA, I bet within 365 days he could be a winning bettor.
Oh, absolutely.
But you can only bet a nickel a game. So maybe he could end up making like $25,000 a year dedicating his life to it.
Exactly. I think that's a good number, too. The 25K is what I would have used.
And so I'll keep my mic on. So what you're saying is that if that same guy could win the same percentage in the NFL, he could make millions of dollars.
Millionaire, 1 year. Yep.
To wrap it all up, guys, and this is where we love to take the Vegas realities and apply them to the world around you. Who are you trying to get over? Or is it your boss? When he walks by, you're playing, some Fortnite maybe, but you found this one program you can hit escape key and it goes to a spreadsheet when he walks by. I mean, Brad told me about this. I never heard of it. But who are you trying to get over on? Ask yourself that. I know who I'm trying to get over on, the bookies. And what I know is some markets hardly move. And that means, oh, it opened at 2, that NFL side. Oh, my God, it's 2.5. And then there's a market like this where the Lakers go playoff odds at the All-Star break from 44%. They win one game. They go to 55%. They lose one game, and they go to 30%. It's impossible that that's efficient.
And think about this. The Lakers were supposed to go 1-1. They went 1-1, and yet their odds have gone down from 44 to 30%. Crazy overreaction to the last loss.
In just 1 minute, we're going to ask Steve Fezzik, does he like any bet in that Laker proposition, yes, no, for the playoffs?
That's coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Isaac Lohenkron.
Good afternoon, Jonas Ian Rappaport of NFL Media reporting that the Raiders and the Coliseum Authority have reached an agreement for the team to remain in Oakland for the 2019 campaign and includes a team option for 2020 if their new stadium in Las Vegas is not ready by then. Today, Palm Beach County State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg officially charged Patriots owner Robert Kraft and 24 others with first-degree misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution.
It's hard to say that any one person is being targeted when there have been 25 arrests. These are people from all walks of life, all socioeconomic statuses. So it is crazy to think that we're targeting one person when Mr. Kraft got caught up in the midst of a larger sting that netted hundreds of people through many different counties.
Kraft allegedly visited the Orchids of Asia Day Spa in Jupiter, Florida on Saturday afternoon, January 19th, and again the following morning, Sunday, January 20th, the same day as the AFC Championship game in Kansas City, which Kraft later attended. Elsewhere, the Browns re-signed starting left tackle Greg Robinson. The Ravens released veteran receiver Michael Crabtree. College Hoops, Yahoo Sports reporting, Arizona coach Sean Miller and LSU coach Will Wade will be subpoenaed for the federal basketball corruption trial set for April. Jonas, back to you.
Thanks, Isaac. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Monday night. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, Jonas, I have a Kraft question for you. You're a young man.
Yeah.
And, is it growth hormone? Is that what you inject, or what do you use?
Anything. I mean, HGH.
It's just whatever.
Yeah, juice to the gills.
Usually in the gyms, it's like, you know, in January, it's like, oh, it's this, and then in March, it's like, oh, the clear.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, you're just whatever.
I mean,
right?
If it's on the shelf, I'll take it. I don't even read the labels.
You just, you know, you trust others. Okay. Now, all joking aside, joke. You are you're in your 30s, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you're in great shape. He doesn't eat. I mean, when we were at the Super Bowl, it's like, you know, we're going for some, ramen noodles that are real highly valued around here. He's like, oh, too many carbs. I mean, this guy's a nut with it, right? And he's got the, you know, he's got that young, strong body. Now, I'm in my mid-40s. I do eat noodles. And I felt, you know, especially if you I'm not a drinker. And I mean, in college, I had my dalliances with the narcotics and stuff, you know, expanding my mind. But college has been 20 plus years ago. So I'm pretty, you know, straight arrow like that. But if I have even 4 beers in my 40s, next day I feel a little less than 100%. Did I hear it right? Kraft went to the place. And let's call it, had a happy ending.
Yes.
Went home, slept, or went to the hotel, woke up and said, you know, what time's that place open? I'm heading back. Is that the story now?
Yeah, look, I mean, I guess pizza's also good leftover, you know what I mean?
No, but I'm serious, though. Even you, wouldn't you think maybe tomorrow night I'll be back in the game?
Yeah, I would assume. I mean, if the goal was met the first day, I would assume.
Apparently,
yeah.
I mean, we've got legal proceedings saying it was.
It's very...
I mean, the idea that he woke up and said, you know what sounds sounds good. Let's go back to that one place.
AFC Championship games are nerve-wracking, man.
You mean tonight, boss? No. Let's just do it before breakfast. All right, Fez, real quick. Steve Fezzik, NBA expert. Lakers right now, the odds to make the playoffs are?
The no is a big favorite, minus 250.
So if you want to say yes, you get about 200 back. 100 wins you 200. What do you like?
You know, I got to be honest. I don't like anything right now because the odds.
You think the price is right?
Yes, the odds have adjusted so much. However, I think I can take advantage of future public sentiment on this one.
And where you like the no. What's your buy price on the no?
The buy price on the no right now would be minus 230. However, the
No. What I'm saying is for you, at what point would you fire on the no?
I'm going to look to fire on the no after two games from now. If the Lakers win their next two games, they're going to be favored against Memphis.
He just won't answer any questions. Give me a freaking number that you would bet the no.
Minus 230.
Right now, what are you saying the odds are right now?
Minus 250.
So you're saying all it takes is 20 cents.
20 cents, I'd bet it.
That makes no sense, Brad, does it? You know, Fez, this is a great example. The teams ebb and flow, sentiment ebbs and flows, and certainly people ebb and flow. When we come back, we're going to make picks on tonight's games. I'll try to explain what Fezzik should have said, but I might turn off his mic again.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's ebb and flow time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We've got college basketball tipping off in a little over 10 minutes from now. It is the 7 p.m. Eastern time game between Notre Dame and Florida State. Right now, Florida State is an 11.5-point favorite.
And with all the college knowledge, Brad Powers.
Yeah, I lean on the favorite here, Florida State -11.5, but it's all about Florida State's opponent, Notre Dame, a depth-shy team with several players being out. Notre Dame's making a very long trip here to Tallahassee on short rest. Notre Dame just played on Saturday night. So a depth-shy team, short rest, long trip, lean Florida State -11.5.
Now that's succinct. Interesting point, though. We think in the modern era, travel doesn't really matter. But these college teams, what percentage of the games, wild guess, would you say they have 48 hours, meaning only one day off in between?
Oh, 10%.
So this is a rare thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you add in the depth problem. I'm confused, though. Why not alike?
Well, I mean, I just don't lay double digits too much in college hoops.
So it's almost like it's in a situation you really don't lay. But if you had to have 10 double digit favorites this entire college basketball season,
yep,
you had to bet, would this be one of them?
No. And that's why it's a lean.
The second half of that doubleheader on ESPN sees Kansas, a 4.5-point favorite, hosting Kansas State.
So this is a like for me on Kansas -4.5. I bet Kansas -4.5. And it's all about the Big 12 title race for Kansas. 14 straight regular season titles for Kansas. And this is it. If Kansas loses this game, they're out. They'd be down three games.
What's the current odds of them? What would be your price you'd bet Kansas coming back and winning the Big 12?
I'd need 6-1.
So they're significant underdogs, yeah, but they need this game.
If they lose this game, it would be 100-1 Kansas would lose this game. And Kansas, I think we're buying low, RJ. A team just had suffered their worst Big 12 loss in 16 years under Bill Self. I'll take the value on that. Take Kansas -4.5.
Now, in any other sport, when it's a must win, we usually want to fade it because the public is so aware they overvalue the must win. Why not here?
Well, I think there's an overreaction to what they just saw from Kansas on Saturday night.
So you're saying there's different factors.
Yes.
One, recency bias was they looked
horrible
on Saturday night.
Yep.
And that weighs heavier in people's minds than, oh, they need this game to keep some obscure, somewhat streak together.
Exactly.
Guys, something we haven't seen in the gambling world ever, according to RJ, coming up here in a moment. Want to let you know we are brought to you by Mako. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come to Mako today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. While everybody was watching the Oscars, RJ, You were watching it differently, something that you have never seen before. Please explain.
Well, first, I should say efficiency is always first for me, except in the ways of love. But when it comes to watching the Oscars, I don't watch them live, DVR, forward, forward, forward. But all that said, I like, you know, to see some of the dresses and such, you know, the aesthetics. What was amazing was this. There's a director, and I'm not even going to try to say his name. Your guess is his first name, Foreigner. And he was one of those, oh my gosh, it's hard to even compute how small the chance of him winning is. So the books will throw up 50 to 1. Feels like a big payoff, but he's not going to win. 50 to 1. Now, just to create a little bit of context, in the last 12 years, any betting favorite minus 500 or more in the Oscars has won 36 and lost once. So 37 times in a dozen years, there's been big, big, big favorites. 36 and 1, the big, big favorites. So Oscars is chalk, chalk, chalk. This guy, Yorgis, was a complete underdog, 50 to 1 months ago. On Friday, so 2 days before the Oscars, he was 40 to 1. So just a little bit of money. Then in those 48 hours, so much money came in on this Yorgis fellow to win Best Director for the Oscars. The odds closed at 2 to 1. In my entire betting life, I've never seen a 40 to 1 underdog go to 2 to 1 in that short of time. Tomorrow, we'll explore what could have happened. There's a lot of conspiracy theories. I've never seen anything like it. Oh, by the way, he lost.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas with conspiracy theories back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com.